So a property was listed, a triplex, three units. It's for sale. And there's a condition attached to the property. It was built in 1988. And at the time, you know, Santa Barbara, up until recently, the city of Santa Barbara had very strict rules about parking. It used to be you had to have two covered parking spaces for every unit. So you build a triplex, you had to have six covered parking places. Well, today, they let you build without any parking. So things have changed. But in 88, they were allowed to build without meeting the parking requirement spaces at that time. Now, I'm not saying at that time they would have had to have put six covered parking. That might be more for single family. So, but maybe they were required and they wanted them to have six spaces for the three units. Whatever it was, they didn't have enough spaces. So what they did was the city let them build. But the condition on the deed is that they can only rent to people. What do you think? Without cars? That would have made sense. They can only rent to people who are age 62 or older. I don't know what the reasoning was. Maybe they wanted to have homes for people who were 62 and older. So they thought, well, this is a way to create homes for people 62 and older. So that's fair. 62 is pretty young. You probably still would own a car. They could have said you can only rent to people that didn't own a car. Or, you know, I don't know how many parking spaces there are. Maybe one unit you could only rent. But regardless, kind of randomly, you know, you got to be 62 or older, you can't have a car. Who is going to monitor that? The owner owns the house, he's the landlord, and he's signing a lease. Does the city, every time they lease, do they have to go back to the city and show the copy of a driver's license? Who enforces this? People move in and out. And what if you're 62 and your wife is 55? I imagine that would be okay. They have very specific rules at the, what's the name of the condo association at Fairview and Kyrial? Ellis Corp? It's got a couple of names. It's centered around the golf course there. I can't think of it. But they have very specific rules. One has to be a certain age to occupy it, and then you can't have a young wife. There's a minimum, and you know, and if you have grandchildren visiting, they actually, you know, there's a time limit on how long they can stay. That's pretty remarkable. I don't know who enforces that as well. I have that written down somewhere, all that information, but I can't find it. Anyway. This is a triplex, and that's built, and that's for sale. I learned something. Oh, I mentioned last week the property tax postponement program for senior citizens, blind or disabled persons. Eligible homeowners can postpone the payment of current year property taxes on their primary residences, and you have to apply between October 1st and February 10th. It's run by the state Controller's Office, Administrator's Office. And so you just got to Google that. The website is way too complicated. It's an 800 number I can give you, 952-5661, 800-952-5661. Let's see if I have enough time for this. A tax wrinkle in sale of rental home. I read this woman, Liz Weston. She's a certified financial planner. He recently answered a question from a couple who wanted to move into their rental property, make it their primary residence, and then sell it and use the $500,000 home sale exclusion after living there for 2 years. You should have made it clearer that not all the gains on the property would qualify for this exclusion. Now, it used to be, and I knew some people who were doing this, they had a bunch of rental properties, they'd move in, they'd make it their primary residence for 2 years, and they'd sell it, and boom, $500,000 exclusion on the gain. They probably didn't have to pay the I can't think of that either. But in 2008, Congress closed the loophole and is the answer. And when regarding turning your rental property into your primary residence. So the couple would not be able to count the gain that occurred between 2009 and whenever they moved in. So if they bought it in 1980 and it went up quite a bit to 2009, they could exclude that gain, but you can't exclude the gain since 2009. They bought it in 1988, so that would be a lot of gain through 2008. And she's quoting a CPA. Now, some parts of the country might not be enough gains to qualify for that $250,000 per owner exclusion. But in higher areas, of course, like California, it still could be more than $500,000. So yeah, so that was, you know, the $500,000 exclusion was designed for people who live in their home forever and they go to sell it and, you know, hey, let's not tax you completely on all that gain. Let's exclude $500,000. Used to be if your partner, spouse died, you had to sell it within the calendar year. And now I think they extended that to 1 year because obviously if a spouse dies at the end of the year, that's ridiculous. And in principle, it's a good, you know, it's a good thing versus some proposals I've heard from the current administration where they want to tax you on gains that you haven't even realized. I mean, if you bought a stock and you have a gain of $20,000 for the year because the stock went up, they want to tax that gain. Even though the next year the stock went down $30,000 and that $20,000 gain is gone. You never even made it, never even had it. I don't think they're talking about touching the $500,000 home sale exclusion, so we shall see. Anyway, keep that in mind if you have a rental property, and it's tough. That's why people do 1031 exchanges, because you either have to pay the capital gains and repay the, I can't think of the word. It's not depreciation. Maybe it is depreciation. There's some term that you, tax benefit you get when you own the rental property. And when you sell it, if you don't do a 1031 exchange, you have to pay that back. So you're listening to Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate, radiorealestate.com. We'll take a quick break, come back with the weekly multiple listing sales update.